Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today. Thanks for tuning in wherever you're watching from. I always like to ask you to become a digital missionary. What do I mean by that? Send the word of God by simply liking, comment, sharing, subscribing, whatever you can do on whatever platform you're on. Maybe you're watching us on a podcast later on. Well, go ahead and share that podcast. Send it out to a few people. Help us get the word out. Help people stay encouraged and inspired because that's what we're here to do. Amen. All right. Well, thanks again for being on with me today. We are still in Mark chapter 1. And we've been crawling at a snail's pace through this opening chapter, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I think it is good. Sometimes when you move too fast through scripture, you miss the things the Holy Spirit wants to slow you down and show you, just kind of download a little bit slower. So today we're looking at a part of Jesus's life that is very easy to skip over because it's not a miracle. It's not a demon being cast out like yesterday. It's not a massive crowd. It's not a dramatic confrontation. It's a rather quiet moment. And sometimes the quiet moments are the moments that explain the public power. Often we say it this way, what happens in the prayer room will reflect what happens on the platform. And you know, obviously maybe you don't have a stage or a platform or a show, but in your everyday, often what we do in the secret place has everything to do with what happens in the public place. So today I want to talk about the rhythm of solitude. And I want to ask you something right here from the beginning. Have you ever felt like your life was just out of rhythm? You're doing the things, you're moving, you are busy, you are answering texts, you are checking emails, you're going from one thing to the next thing. But man, just something feels off. You're busy, but you're not centered. You're active, you're moving, but you're not aligned. Maybe you felt like that, like you are busy, but you are not centered. You are doing the things for God, but maybe you are not really being with God. Listen, that happens to all of us if we are not careful. Life has a rhythm. Your soul has a rhythm. Your schedule has a rhythm. Relationships have rhythm. And when that rhythm gets off, everything feels off. It is like when somebody is clapping during worship, but they are just half a beat behind, right? It happens. They're sincere. They are committed. They are confident, but they are so wrong. And once you hear it, come on, that's all you can hear. And it's like, come on, Jesus, I'm trying to worship you. I'm trying to stay focused. But sister so-and-so, she's ruining the whole thing for me. You're trying to worship, but man, all you can think is somebody help them find the beat. But the truth is, listen, some of us are living that way spiritually. We're clapping. We're moving. We are showing up. But we're not in rhythm with the Father. And when your rhythm is off, everything feels off. So today I want to teach from this thought, the rhythm of solitude. So let's go back to the chapter one of Mark, beginning in verse 35 today. And here's what it says. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. That's our verse for today. One verse, but come on, it reveals so much about how Jesus lived. Because listen, if we want the life of Jesus, we cannot just admire the results of Jesus. We have to adopt the rhythms of Jesus. We cannot only admire his power, we have to learn his pattern. Now, let's get right into the word. Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, do not rush past this, because this is Jesus. Don't forget, he's the Son of God, the anointed one, the one who healed the sick, the one who we discovered earlier in the chapter, who cast out demons, the one who spoke with authority, the one who walked in perfect obedience to the Father. And yet Jesus made time to get alone and pray. Actually, the day before this, Jesus had been ministering. He had been teaching. He had cast out demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then the whole city, if you remember, gathered at the door, bringing the sick and the oppressed to him. So Jesus had a full day, a demanding day, a ministry day, a people day. I don't know about you, but if you've ever had a people day, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And after that kind of day, we might expect him to sleep in. We might say, Jesus, come on, take a break. You deserve a little rest here. You had a big day yesterday, healing the sick, confronting demons, doing all that you did. But Mark says early in the morning, a long while before daylight, Jesus got up, went out, found a solitary place, and prayed. Listen, that tells us that this was not accidental. This was intentional. Jesus wasn't sitting around just waiting for a quiet moment. You know what he did? He created one. I don't know about you, but if you are not intentional with your time, come on. I can write every list, but if I'm not intentional with my time, the moments will never find me. So Jesus did not wait for a quiet moment. He created one. Jesus did not wait for time with the Father. He made time for the Father. And this is so important, because if Jesus had to make time, then guess what? So do we. If you wait for life to slow down before you seek God, you may never see God. If you wait for the perfect quiet moment, you may never find it. If you wait, well, you know, it's just a season. I'll wait until the kids are older. The schedule is lighter. The work is easier. The pressure is gone and everything settles down. Guess what? You may keep waiting forever. If you are going to live a successful Christian life, you have to choose your rhythm. Because if you do not set your rhythm, the world will set it for you. Your phone is going to set it. Your calendar will make sure that it's full. Your inbox will set it. Other people's emergencies will set it. Culture will set it. Anxiety will make sure it is set. But Jesus shows us a different way. He chooses the Father before the crowd. He chooses prayer before pressure. He chooses solitude before activity. He chooses intimacy before ministry. See, Jesus did not wait for a quiet moment. He created a quiet moment. And that is a word for us today. Do not drift into intimacy, because it won't happen. Right? You design for it. You plan for it. You make room for it. You put something else down so you can pick up what matters most. And I think what Mark is showing us here is public power flows from private ministry. Here's one of the most important truths of this passage. The public power of Jesus was deeply rooted in his private intimacy with the Father. Before Jesus faced people, he met with the Father. Before he faced demands, he prayed. Before he entered crowded places, he went to the hidden place. And come on, that matters, because many people, what do we want? We want public. We want the public fruit without the private root. We want peace, but don't want to pray. We want clarity, but not communion with God. We want power, but not the secret place. We want to bear fruit, but don't abide in the branch. But what does Jesus say? I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Without me, you can do nothing. Not some things. He says you can do nothing. That means our fruit comes from abiding. Our strength comes from connection. Our clarity comes from communion. Our power comes from presence. And this is where many believers get worn out. They are trying to produce results that only come from relationship. And how sad that we would want the benefits. There's an old song that says, we seek the giver, not the gift. That there would be people who would be so deceived that we would just seek after the gift, after the benefits of Christ, after the benefits of following him, but never seek the giver. Right? My kids don't have to ask me for provision. They don't have to come and say, Dad, you know, hey, will you feed me today? Will you give me food? Will you? Right? Why? Because they're my children, but we're in relationship. Right? Like out of result of our relationship, out of resolve, a result of them being of me and connected to me, they don't have to ask for those things. They just get those things. Right? But let a stranger come in and start saying, hey, yeah. Can I get some food? Well, I don't know you. You might think that's harsh, but that is actually what the Bible says will happen. It says, you know, we will all stand before him and many will say, but what we did this and this, and he will say, depart from me. Why? Because I did not know you. So many Christians are trying to perform Christianity instead of practice communion. They are trying to act spiritual instead of abiding in Christ. But here's the thing, eventually, performance always runs out. You can only fake strength for so long. You can only run on yesterday's oil for so long. You can only minister, serve, parent, lead, work, and carry responsibilities out of emptiness for so long before something breaks down. But listen, Jesus did not minister from emptiness. He ministered from overflow. So what we're seeing today is if Jesus needed time with the Father, how much more do we? If the Son of God got alone to pray, what makes us think we can make a difference without the hidden place? I need the Father. I need the Word. I understand that if the Son of God got alone to pray, what makes me think I can make it without the hidden place? I need the Father. I need the Word. I need the secret place. I will not live on empty. That is not weakness. That is wisdom. Listen, solitude is where your soul gets recharged. Let me say it this way. Your spiritual life needs to be plugged in. Most of us understand this with our phones. Funny story to add to that. This past Sunday, we had an interesting morning. So we have this little French bulldog. She's a wonderful dog, but our yard isn't completely fenced in. And so we got her one of those little, it's a GPS collar that if she starts getting close to the edge of the yard, it'll start to beep. And, she's just a little thing. So she gets real scared and she'll run back. And it has worked wonderful for 2 years. And you might say, oh, don't shock your dog. She's not getting shocked because she did one time and that was it. And now she hears the beep and she stays. She'll stay in the yard. She don't care what's going on. She will stay in the yard. Well, anyway, long story short, my son, we had some family over, and usually on our counter, there's the little plug that, you know, when you take the collar off, you got to plug it in so that it's charged next time she has to go out. And we had a family party over and we needed the counter space. So my wife, Sarah, unplugged the charger and put it into a drawer. And so for 2 days, my son was bringing the dog in and couldn't find the charger and just left the collar there. So anyway, Sunday morning, I'm here at the church and my wife texts me and says, I can't find our dog, Fern. That's her name, Fern. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't find her? And I open up the app and I'm looking on the GPS and it says there's no signal. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, she had to get to church or worship practice. So as soon as she got to the church, I drove home. I'm driving through the neighborhood. We're looking for her. Anyway, the police department called a little bit later. Somebody had found her. They turned her in. We got her back. She's fine. But, you know, when I went to my son and I said, why would you for 2 days not plug in her collar? He was like, well, I couldn't find the charger. Now, I got 5 kids, right? Not all of them have phones, but they have some type of device. And let me tell you something. If one of my kids takes one of the other kids' phone chargers, it is like World War III up in that place. Where somebody took my charger, I can't find my charger. They have it. I know they have it. And you're like, whoa, 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 calm down, right? And so I said to my son, I said, listen, when you couldn't find your phone charger, you were tearing this house up. You wouldn't let anything rest until you found your charger. But when it comes to Fern's collar, you didn't bother to look. You didn't bother to ask. You just threw it there. And now we were where we were, right? So I'm saying that because, listen, we understand this with our phones. Like, I've done this. I've woken up and I've realized, I forgot to charge my phone. And it's a terrible feeling. You pick it up and it says 2%. And immediately your whole day changes. Now, listen, you can do the math. Can I make it to lunch? Can I charge it in the car? Can I turn the brightness down? Can I put it on low power mode? Can I avoid opening anything that drains the battery? And we get so careful because we know that if the phone does not get plugged in, eventually it will die and cut us off from the source of information or whatever it is that we are needing to get from that phone. Think about that. But some of us treat our own souls worse than we treat our phones. We wake up spiritually at 3% and try to make it through the day. We try to parent on 3% and lead on 3% and try to resist temptation on 3%. Try to stay patient. Try to make decisions at 3%. And listen, and then halfway through the day, we wonder why we feel exhausted, frustrated, impatient, anxious, and just spiritually dull. It's because we never plugged in. The hidden place is where you plug into the power source. My prayer is not religious decoration. It is connection. Reading the word of God is not a checkbox. The word is life. Actually, the Bible says that the word is health to all of our members. Many of us, come on, if we forgot our vitamins, if we forgot our regimen, our workout routine, it's like the whole day feels off. But the Bible said is actually the word is life to us. So solitude is not wasted time. Solitude is where your soul gets aligned with the Father. What does Isaiah say? For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and do not grow weary. They walk and do not faint. But where does that strength come from? That strength comes from waiting, not rushing, not striving. Waiting, being with him, listening, receiving, letting him order your heart before the day reorders you. You cannot run on spiritual empty and expect to live in spiritual victory. One of the greatest dangers for believers is that we can confuse activity with intimacy. We can be busy with God things, and still not be with God. We can serve, we can attend, we can lead, we can post verses, we can talk Christian language, we can do a lot of activity, but activity is not the same as intimacy. Martha learned this. She was busy serving, she was doing something good. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you have worried and troubled about many things, But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. That does not mean serving does not matter. It does. But serving that does not flow from sitting and intimacy will often become striving. Why? Because activity without intimacy becomes anxiety. Ministry without communion becomes pressure. Work without worship becomes weariness. But listen, Jesus did not live that way. Jesus did not start with activity. He started with alignment. He did not begin with the crowd. He began with the Father. And this is the order that we must recover. Intimacy first, then activity. Presence first, then productivity. Prayer first, then platform. The hidden place first, then the public place. Why? Because activity will never lead to real intimacy. But intimacy will always produce the right activity. When you get with the Lord, come on, he starts shaping what matters. He corrects your motives. He adjusts your pace. He gives you wisdom. He shows you what to say yes to. He shows you what to say no to. He settles your spirit. He reminds you who you are. He reminds you who he is. And then you come out of that hidden place with clarity, not frantic, not empty, not performing, but aligned and strengthened and ready. So the rhythm of solitude will not happen by accident. You have to design for it. That may mean waking up earlier. It may mean going to bed earlier. It may mean putting your phone in another room. It may mean turning off the show, not Good Morning Live. No, I just need it. That may mean sitting in the car 5 extra minutes before you walk into work. That is one of my favorite things to do. I leave a little bit early. I just, because I know, you know, the moment I walk into work, it's the checklist, it's the things. I'm in work mode. So I've taken habit to just sitting in the parking lot. So if you ever show up here at the church or the network and you see me in the car, just let me alone. I'm just talking to God. That might mean taking a walk and praying. It might mean blocking time in your calendar. That may mean telling people, I'm not available during this time. It will look different for different people, but the principle is the same. You make room for what matters. Now, let's be honest. We make time for what we value. We make time to scroll. You don't believe me? Just go to your cell phone. Look at your watch time, your screen time report, and it'll shock you. And then we say, well, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read. Just go to your screen time. We make time to watch. We make time to eat. We make time to talk. We make time for errands, for entertainment. We make time for what we decide matters. And the question is not only do I have time? The question is, what am I choosing as my rhythm? You know, the principle even of the tithe financially, the Bible says, bring the tithe. What is the tithe? A tenth. Into the storehouse. Financially, God says, if you give me the tenth, the tithe, I will bless the 90 and you will be able to do more with the 90 than you could with a cursed 100. Right? And one of the scriptures says it's like putting money into pockets with holes in them. So the principle of the tithe is you give him the 10th, you give him what belongs to him. He will bless the 90. He will take care of blessing it. And the blessing on the 90 will produce more for you than no blessing on the 100. And the same thing is true in our time. But God, how can I? But God, where can I squeeze this in or fit this in? And God's saying, listen, if you will just give me time, if you just make space, I will bless the rest of your schedule. It'll be like, how did I get everything done? How did it all just work out? Why? Because God will bless the rest if we start with that tenth, with offering him the beginning. Jesus chose solitude with the Father, and we need to choose it too. Not because God is angry if we do not check the box, right? But because our souls need him. We need his presence. We need his voice, his correction, his peace. We need his wisdom. We need his power and his word. So I love what David wrote in Psalms 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. And read that again. Psalms 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. One thing, come on, that is focus, that is hunger, that is priority. So we ask yourself today, where is my hidden place? When is my time with the Father? What needs to be adjusted so I can get back in rhythm? Because if you want the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the rhythms of Jesus. Now, here is why this matters. Because the hidden place prepares you for the crowded place. Jesus got alone with the Father, but then the disciples came looking for him. The crowd wanted him. The demands were there. They were waiting. The needs were real. The pressure was real. But Jesus was not moved by pressure. Why? Because he had been with the Father. He had clarity. And that is what the hidden place does. It gives you clarity before the crowd starts talking. If you skip the hidden place, the crowd will always define your day. Other people's needs will define your pace. Urgency will define your priorities. But when you have been with the Father, you can move with peace. You can say yes with confidence. You can say no without guilt. You can discern what is God and what is just noise. That is why the enemy fights your prayer life so hard. He does not want you clear or aligned or steady. He does not want you full. But Jesus shows us the way. Get alone, pray, listen, be strengthened, be aligned, then move. So come on, declare this. I will make room for the Father. I will not live on empty. I will design my life for intimacy with God. I will walk in the rhythm of Jesus. So today, I don't know what your plan was. I don't know what was on your calendar or your schedule. But I want to encourage you today. Not just today, but evaluate today and set rhythms in your life every day. Quit running on 3%. Next time your phone gets down to 3% and you're freaking out, stop and think, where's my soul? Don't put more confidence in a phone than you have in Jesus. Prioritize, make space. He's waiting. He's holding nothing back. So let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the life and the rhythm of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for trying to live spiritually unplugged. Forgive us for choosing hurry over prayer. Forgive us for being active but not aligned. Father, today we ask you to help us recover the hidden place. Give us fresh hunger for your presence. Give us discipline to make room. Give us wisdom to adjust our schedules. Teach us to pray. Teach us to listen. Teach us to abide. Let our public lives flow from private intimacy with you. And for anyone watching today who feels out of rhythm spiritually, I pray for you today that this would be a turning point. Father, bring them back to you. Bring them back to fellowship with you. And for anyone who's, listen, never received Jesus, today is the day. Simply pray this from your heart. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. I repent. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Forgive me. Save me. Make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, every day, Good Morning Live is making a difference in the lives of people. Through this program, through the Pioneer Channel, through the greater Pioneer Television Network, we're going into homes, devices, any open door God opens, we're walking through. 255 million people have access. Why? because some people along the way have stepped up and said, we believe in what God is doing through this ministry. And we want to stand with you to help see it go further. You're watching today because somebody before you said, yes, I'll partner. I want to ask you, and we don't ever pressure anybody to do these things, but would you prayerfully consider becoming a Pioneer partner and standing with us with your monthly support and helping us continue to take this message around the world? And for those that already do, thank you so much. This good news comes on the back of your sacrifice and your prayer and your faithfulness and your giving. So thank you. Well, friends, thank you for being with me today on Good Morning Live. It is a pleasure, like always. Today, find the hidden place. Make room for prayer. Plug into the power source and let the Father set the rhythm of your life. I love you. I'm praying for you. And remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.